They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second Peter, we read this in chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. They willfully ignore this. Long ago, the heavens and the earth were brought about from water, and through water by the word of God. Through these waters, the world of that time perished when it was flooded. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. What we understand about the flood, about God's original creation, and how that relates to geology is really important as to how we truly understand the Word of God, His judgment, and His salvation. And again with us today, we have Dr. Andrew Snelling, who is going to talk to us about geology. So Dr. Snelling, let's continue talking. We've talked about research last week, and we want to go on and talk a little bit more specifically about your area, and that is for the fact that you have a PhD in geology from the University of Sydney, about geology. So let me ask you this to start with. Why is geology specifically one of the biggest stumbling blocks for people when they consider biblical history, particularly the age of the earth?
Well, the flood is the key issue because the flood would have left behind a record of its passing. And clearly, the scriptures indicate all the high hills under the whole of the heaven were covered and the mountains were covered. Water erodes, it's going to leave behind the effects of that erosion and all the sediments that it produces from that erosion. And then all the living things that were destroyed by the flood. There ought to be a record of the flood. If the Bible's history is correct, then geology is important because we should find from the study of the earth, man's home, the evidence of the flood. And so this is critical. In fact, it was critical in the history of geology because early in the history of geology, everyone believed the scriptures. And then there were those who came in who tried to undermine the scriptures, who tried to say, no, the flood wasn't responsible for the layers that we see. It took millions of years. And people bought into that idea and the flood became irrelevant in understanding geology. And so God's word was undermined. God's word was dethroned. And so the gospel that's preached from that from God's word was also blunted in its power to reach the general populace.
So really what you're saying is people were using millions of years to reinterpret history, not, you know, just ignoring the history, obviously, that we had in the Bible, but that just that idea of millions of years really created the way that they look at the world?
Yes. In fact, if you look at the history of geology, there was a real spiritual battle. Those who were introducing this millions of years idea were determined to remove the scriptures from consideration of God's world and understanding the rocks and the fossils that were previously believed to be a result of the flood and clearly are. Mm-hmm. For anyone who starts with God's word, the rocks and the fossils are evidence of the flood. And so they're not millions of years old. But by introducing this idea of slow and gradual processes over millions of years to produce the rock layers and the fossils, it was determined by that, it was the aim of that was to remove God's word from consideration. And so it was a real battleground and it still is today.
Wow. And I've seen that, obviously, and we all see it. In fact, I'm sure everybody just about sees this in their local churches. There's still that contention where the millions of years ideas have even come into the local church, and we've seen people saying, okay, well, we're going to take these men's ideas and try and insert them into Scripture. That has a consequence, doesn't it?
It does, indeed, because It undermines the authority of God's word in the opening chapters of the Bible, which is actually the history of the Creator Jesus Christ, who came to die for us. And the reason he came to die was because there was a literal Adam and Eve who rebelled against God in a literal Garden of Eden prior to the flood, and God judged. And so the gospel is rooted in that history. Remove that history, why would you believe that then we need a savior? And so it is a real spiritual battle with eternal consequences.
It's amazing. I don't think a lot of people realize that the study of geology, the understanding of geology from the biblical perspective, actually has gospel implications when we see it all the way through to its end.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, but we don't need to believe in millions of years. There's so many things in the geological record out there that show us that millions of years just don't fit with it. What would some of those things be?
Well, the clearest indication is fossils. I mean, do we see fossils forming today? You know, you leave a dead cat out on the lawn, it doesn't fossilize. Where do you see all the dead fish on the bottom of the ocean waiting to be fossilized today? When fish die, say in a polluted stream, river, they often float to the surface where they rot or eaten by scavengers. You need catastrophic conditions where the creature is rapidly buried to remove the forces of decay that would disintegrate it. And so the fossils themselves, particularly the details that we find in fossils, and the scientists are doing us a favour lately, but they're reporting the finding of soft tissue and blood vessels and DNA in fossils that indicate, first of all, that it had to be rapidly preserved, and secondly, it can't have been millions of years ago, because those, you know, soft tissues and blood vessels and DNA would have decayed away. And so the fossils are probably exhibit A for biblical earth history. You know, the flood catastrophically buried all those creatures, just as God's word says, and it was only recently, thousands of years ago, so there was no time for things to rot and decay away and not be preserved for us to study today.
Wow. Now, you did mention sea creatures there, and we find fossilized sea creatures on the top of very high mountains. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely, we do. I mean, in the Himalayas, or the Himalayas, depending how you pronounce it, we've got limestone beds that have been pushed up, and that from obviously that it was originally when the ocean waters covered the continents, sea creatures were swept up onto the land, and then the rocks were crumpled and the mountains were pushed up. So buried sea creatures are actually found at the tops of high mountains, indicating that the ocean waters covered the earth, that there were catastrophic changes that reshaped the earth in the past that fit exactly what the Bible says about the flood.
Now, what if you were an evolutionary geologist, if you believed in millions of years, how would you explain that?
You would explain it in terms of slow erosion and accumulation processes. You know, creatures on the seashore were buried by the occasional rock slide, landslide, debris flow, you know, in the estuary of a river, in a delta, for example, when you have floods in a river.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would say it would all accumulate slowly, and then forces at work slowly change the balance between the ocean basins and the earth, the land, and pushed up these layers to higher elevations. But there are flaws in that argument.
Yeah, tell us about those.
Well, the rocks on the continents are like corks that float on the structure of the earth below, and so you can't push the cork down. It tends to float. And so to say that the fossils got pushed up to high elevations or the land got pushed down so the ocean could come in just doesn't fit the science of understanding the earth structure. You need other forces at work to make things happen. And I believe the flood, as we've come to understand it and see the geological implications and the geophysical implications, provides a powerful mechanism for understanding why we get fossils found on the continents. I mean, the marine fossils aren't found in the middle of the ocean.
Mm.
They're found up on the continents
and
up on mountains. And so we need something drastically different from what's happening now to produce what we see in the geologic record.
And we hear people talking about fossil fuel, and you know, obviously from worldview, they think, well, this takes millions and millions of years to form. And you know, obviously we don't believe that. You've done some work on oil. So can you give us just a quick overview of that?
Yes, it's not a slow and gradual process. We can produce it in the laboratory in a matter of hours or days. I mean, people can take trash, organic debris from, you know, meat processing plants, and they can turn it into oil. We can get oil from coal. We can get oil just made in the laboratory from the algal materials and those kinds of things very rapidly. Just need the right amount of pressure and heat to make it happen. The oil out there in the real world seems to have come primarily from marine algae, a lot of it buried rapidly, and so it would relate to the flood where there was huge accumulations, were buried rapidly, and the heat and pressure of burial quickly turned it into oil, and we're tapping into those resources today. By the way, it reminds me that even in judgment in the flood, God was being merciful in providing us a resource that we need in the post-flood world. I mean, it's a picture of God's in judgment. He's even merciful.
Yeah, very gracious, very gracious. So, you know, there would be people then who are very, very concerned about, for instance, oil stocks, and that we're going to run out of oil and energy. What would your response be in relation to those sorts of things?
Well, we're finding more resources all the time. Even when the price goes up, it makes more resources viable, and there's new discoveries all the time. I mean, off the coast of Brazil, just a few years ago, they found a huge new resource. So we're still exploring different parts of the earth, and we're getting the technology to drill in deeper water out from the edge of the continents. And so we haven't yet reached what people call peak oil. We may, but it will only spur on research for alternatives.
Yeah.
And that's going on even now.
Isn't it amazing that the Lord has given us such a mind that we can even explore those sorts of things?
Absolutely.
So it's incredible. So let's finish our program today. And I just want to ask you this, because obviously, you know, we see major faulting happening, and it's causing huge catastrophes around the world. Can you just comment on that before we...
Well, what we see today is minor compared to what happened in the past. I mean, in the geologic record, we've got evidence of huge tsunamis and huge earthquakes and huge volcanic eruptions that make even the Mount St. Helens eruption of 1980 look like just a firecracker. We see from the structure of the earth, the way things are moving relative to one another, this is what causes earthquakes. You've got rock materials at depth being melted to produce volcanoes. Earthquakes, of course, when the earth moves, if it's under the ocean, what happens is that movement of the ocean floor transfer the energy to the water above, which is transmitted towards the coastline. And when it gets to the coastline, the water gets heaped up and we get what is called a tsunami. It comes from a Japanese word which meant harbor wave. And so... those are minor compared to what we see evidence of in the rock record. What we see today from volcanoes and earthquakes and tsunamis are really only the leftover remnants of what it must have been horrific during the flood.
So if people want to know, because we've gone through so many things today, you know, just very quickly touched on things like fossils and sea creatures, oil, earthquakes, catastrophes, different things like that all associate with geology. If they want to know more about how they can study geology according to the truth and authority of God's word, what would you suggest they look into?
Well, I'm biased. I have to recommend the book that I put together, two-volume work, Earth's Catastrophic Past, Geology, Creation, and the Flood. It really is a biblical and scientific defense of the flood and God's word teaching on creation and the flood, but it deals with all those geological issues.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Snelling. Thank you again for being with us. And let us remind us that, you know, the flood is an indication of God's faithfulness in judgment and his coming judgment, and that will point us to salvation in Jesus Christ alone. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.